Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 31, go ahead and be seated for just a moment. Psalm 31, crisis and trouble. Man, we face it all of the time. You either have just been through a crisis, or you're in a crisis right now, or there's one just around the corner, and you're going to face it tomorrow, or you're going to face it this afternoon. The truth is, the Bible tells us in the book of Job that man was born unto trouble as the sparks fly to the sky. Scripture also says in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man, we all got it. We've all been there. It's victory, then defeat. Victory and then defeat. And you color it any way you want to color it. And the Bible tells us we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and tests come our way. The truth is, there are times in our life where we get discouraged, fall into despair, sometimes even depression. It even happened to King David, and that's what Psalm 31 is about. Most times you can take on the frontal attack of Satan. At least I feel that way, but then sometimes he blindsides you. The devil is throwing haymakers today. He's doing everything he can to destroy and diminish the church of Jesus Christ. Because like we heard in Jude in the Sunday school hour this morning, if he can destroy the body of truth, less than one generation, the gospel is gone. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's stand back up. Let me read one verse and we'll have a word of prayer. In thee, O Lord, Psalm 31, do I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. God, would you bless this morning? Take the 31st Psalm and embed it in our lives, engraft it into our being. God, I pray there wouldn't be a child of God here that is suffering right now and thinks they're all alone and thinks that no one else has to go through what they go through. God, I pray you'd encourage the weakest saint, and God, save the soul that is farthest or nearest to you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Life seldom goes as we plan it. Last week, and I started the message last week, and I'll tell you the rest of the story here this morning. I either picked the worst day to have a big push day of the calendar year or the best day of the calendar year. Because truth is, I'll not belabor it, we had all kinds of people. I said 18, I said 20 families. There were other families that weren't here. Some of them were out of town. They told me about it and I didn't even know they weren't here that morning. It was a wonderful crowd, but we had all of those families missing, and yet we had all of the visitors that were here, and it was hot and it was sticky, but when it was all said and done, 11 souls came to Christ in that morning service. So, worst day or best day? I prefer to choose the latter. It was the best day. Souls got saved. Truth is, if we'd have been packed to the gills and people out in the foyer and down below in the lower level, it may have been so crowded and so sticky, maybe some of those people or even one of them would not have listened closely to the message and therefore would not have gotten born again. So God knows what he's doing, and we just trust him. And that's what Psalm 31 is about. We need to honor God, put God first, all hands on deck. It is a battleground. There are casualties. There's blood being shed. The devil is mad. He's throwing haymakers because we're in the very last days of the church age and Jesus is getting ready to come again. And it's got to be all hands on deck. It's everybody. Let's stay faithful. If you know of a brother or sister that is struggling for whatever the reason, put your arm around them and say, listen, you got to be in church. You got to be hearing the word of God. You need to be here under the preaching of the word of God. You need the fellowship of God's people. Iron sharpeneth iron. Don't give up now. Don't quit now. And David got to the place in his life where he was ready to throw in the towel. That great warrior of the faith. The sweet psalmist of Israel got disillusioned. And the truth is, that kind of encourages me a little bit. Not in a morbid way. I wouldn't want David to be disillusioned, but it encourages me to know that he's just like us. He has this, his feet are made of clay. Chosen by God to be the king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, penned all of these psalms, most of these psalms, and yet he knew what it was to be disappointed. My God is good. Let me say that right before I read another verse. My God, he saved me in 1968. I didn't know anything about God. I just knew there was a God in heaven. And when I heard that he was the Savior and Margene Rowe led me to the Lord, man, that was the most wonderful day of my life. That was in 1968. 1976, I surrendered to preach. A lot of things happened between 1968 and 1976, and I let God down again and again, and yet he protected me in his mercy. Now, like I said in Sunday school, if mercy's all I got, man, that is all I have as a child of God. If I don't have the mercy of God in my life, it's all over. So thank God for his mercy. 68, I got saved. 76, I surrendered to preach. 1981, I came to Fundamental Baptist Church. Wet behind the ears, knew everything there was to know. I got the answers. I have my four-year degree from a Bible college and ready to rip. And now it's the year 2022. And I'm still totally inadequate. And God is still good. And he's still meeting the need over and over again. There's always trouble. I talk to pastors pretty regular. Some that pastor 25 people, some that pastor 150. Not too many churches do I counsel. Well, yeah, there are a few. And I get counsel from them as well that are larger than this ministry. And they jokingly say, man, if I could just pastor a church like your pastor, and if I could just pastor Fundamental Baptist Church, everything would be hunky-dory and there'd never be any problems. And I laugh at them and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Man, if you got 100 people, you got 100 problems times 10 to the 10th power, right? Yeah. You got 200 people, you got hundreds of people. Oh my goodness, never do I pillow my head at night except I'm concerned about somebody. That is ministry. I got enough in my own family. I got enough in my own backyard, Tim Rader. You know, but God is good. And if you ever be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Look at what it says here in Psalm 31. I'm going to try to get right to it. Here's a two-point outline. That's all it is this morning. Just a two-point outline. Number one, David finds out he's in deep trouble. And he also knows there is divine help. That's it. That's how complicated this psalm is, the way I'm going to preach it this morning. And we can all identify with trouble. And we all can identify with periodically getting a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit disillusioned. But understand, there is divine help. Before David is done with this psalm, he's on the mountaintop. He's telling God's people, hey, God is good. He's telling God's people, you lean on God. He'll meet your every need. He strengthened me and he'll strengthen you. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth. And sometimes the difficulties, they come in waves. Comes one right after the other. I've preached this thing about the COVID, and I'm not going to re-preach that this morning, but that was the genius of Satan, COVID-19. Amen. There are people that still have not recovered and come back to church from COVID-19. That was not a frontal attack, and we all didn't really know how to react initially. But I'm telling you, there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and the battle never ends. There are people that got a whole lot more to carry than I do. I know that. Walk in someone else's shoes. Follow them around 1 week. You'll find out you don't have trouble. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. That word ashamed, Hebrew word, confused. There's confusion on the battleground, all right? And to be confused is a terrible thing. And he says, deliver me. And that's what this psalm is all about. Deliverance. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Understand, David knew it wasn't going to be any righteousness here on this earth that was going to deliver him. He needed help from God. He needed divine help. Man, period. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of counselors in the world today. If it ain't in the Bible, it may not be true. Simply put. That's not very eloquent. If it's in the Bible, you can count on it. If it ain't in the Bible, it might not be true. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness. Next verse, for thou art my rock. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, right now. David says, right now, God, I need you. By the way, let me give you a little background here real quick. And I'm not sure the reason for the writing of this psalm. But I believe, and Bible, everything I read, Bible theologians, Bible teachers, believe there's one of two reasons, events, that this psalm is being written. Number one, he delivered some of his brethren in Keilah in the lowlands of Judah, delivered them from the Philistines. And those same people betrayed David to Saul. And it hurt him. In fact, he went to God and said, God, is it true? Maybe someone you trust and love has done you wrong. David's been there. Or it could have been when David disobeyed God and numbered the people. Man, he fought David, he fought Goliath as a little boy, and he trusted in the arm of the Lord. He got to be king, and now he's going to number the people, and God told him, don't number the people. And one of three things, he chose one of three things. It was either going to be 7 years of famine for his punishment, for chastisement, or he would flee from his enemy for 3 months, or there'd be 3 days of pestilence. And he chose that 3 days, and in that time period, tens of thousands of people died. And David pleaded out for the mercy of God. God, stay your hand. And he offered a sacrifice on the threshing floor, which happened to be Mount Moriah, where Abraham would offer his son, or offered his son, and later the temple would be built. So, God kind of has, that's all interwoven in the story. But the truth is, either David did terribly wrong and he's being punished, or he was betrayed in a terrible way and he needed help. And he's crying out to God, running from Saul and saying, God, I need you to deliver me now. You're my rock. It's a declaration. God is referred to as a rock 24 times in the Psalms, 12 times by David himself. He said, you're my rock and my fortress. Interesting Hebrew word. It's the very word that speaks of Masada, that speaks of the fortress overlooking the Dead Sea. He's saying, God, you're impenetrable. God, you're invincible. You're the one that I need. You're the only one that can help me. Verse 3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net, the entrapment that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. He has already been entrapped. He's already encircled. He said, God, if I ever needed deliverance, it's right now. God, I've got myself in a whole bunch of trouble down here, and it's big trouble. And here's the truth of the matter. Anytime you're in the valley, that's the big one. It doesn't matter if it's not as deep as your brother's valley over here, but for you, from your perspective, that's the big one. And you need help right now. And I want you to know, you can cry out to God. And I'm going to read to you, we're going to read a little bit further here, and you're going to read a messianic psalm, a passage that applies to Jesus when he was on the cross, hanging on the cross, and he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You understand, that is the ultimate suffering. And David uses those words. It's a messianic psalm to describe where he is. For him, the valley, that was the big one. Right now, it is do or die. It is life or death. This is the big one. I don't know what valley you're in, but let me remind you about this. In the valley, that's where the crops grow. Not on the mountaintop. In the valley, that's where the work is done. Not on the mountaintop. So this is a platform, this is an opportunity, whatever you're facing right now, for God to bear his mighty arm. If you will just look to him like David did, read on, pull me out of the net, verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The very words that Jesus spoke on the cross. You see, whatever your problem is this morning, whatever trouble you're in, Christ has already been there. He has already been there, and he knows exactly what you need and what it's going to take to deliver you. You just have to be smart enough to cry out for deliverance, to ask God for forgiveness. I have hated them that regard iniquity, regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. He says, nothing, I have nothing to do, no time for superstitious idolatry. That is out. But I'm in deep trouble. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. God's there. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large or a secure room. I think I can say this. I believe this is 100% accurate. Sometimes in the valley, in the confusion of battle, the confusion, all right, things get distorted. When David pens the first part of this psalm, he's not thinking right. He's not. Man, he is in trouble, and he probably put himself there, or someone else put him there, and God has a purpose to it, and he's disillusioned. He's discouraged. If you or I were in his shoes, we would be as well. But he's kind of forgot how big God is. It's like he forgot about the day he slew Goliath, or the bear, or the lion. And it might be you're in the valley right now, and you've forgotten what God has done for you. And how he's delivered you. Time and again, that's who you need to run to. Next verse, verse 8. And hast not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. He is saying, I am overwhelmed. God allowed David to bear his heart and his soul in holy writ. So you and I would have understanding of the valley. For my life is spent with grief. These aren't true statements. His whole life hasn't been in grief. But when you're in the valley, it's the big one, right? For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, my own sin, and my bones are consumed. He is overstating some truths, but he's overstating them. We tend to do that. We overstate our problems, we overstate our valleys, our difficulties, and we understate God and underestimate God. Time and again, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. That had to hurt. And if fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. He said, I'm forgotten, and I'm broken, and I'm alone. I believe David had 600 men with him at this point, but he's alone. 600 soldiers, but he's alone. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. Here today, gone. No one thinks of me. I'm like a broken vessel. Have you been there before? Where you hurt so bad, all you can do is sob? Christ is already there.
Amen.
And he'll lift you up.
Right.
For I have heard the slander of many. It hurts when one person lies about you. Many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. They were plotting to kill him. Now it changes just a little bit. So what he said up to verse 13 is, God, I'm in trouble. It's big trouble. It's do or die. I'm alone. I'm forgotten. Nobody cares. That's kind of a distorted statement, but that's how he feels in his heart. He's discouraged. He's depressed. But he knows to cry out to God. Don't ever get so far from God. Don't ever get so low that you do not cry out to God.
Right.
And then he says in verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And it's like the whole tenor changes all of a sudden. He has divine help and he understands that he's safe in the arms of Christ. And he declares that he's trusted God. And he makes a declaration that God, you are my God. And my whole life and my times are in your hands. I completely, completely trust you. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Very eloquent, a metaphor. He's saying, God, I know you've got this, and I just want your smile. I just want your pleasure upon my life. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Thy servant. He's not crying out to God as a king. Thy servant. Trouble has a way of humbling a person. Difficult times, that's a way of bringing about some humility. Amen. You've heard me say this so many different ways, other preachers as well. If it wasn't for tough times, we'd never know how good God is. That's a fact. I don't like to live it, but that's a fact. If I didn't know real heartache in my soul, then I wouldn't know the joy of God that he gives to my soul. Yeah, we none of us want to suffer, but we're called to suffer. None of us want to. We don't want to ever face any tragedy. God forbid you'd ever bury a child. God forbid that you'd ever, ever get cancer. God forbid. But we, none of us want to face that. But the truth is, were it not for those valleys, we would never grow. And God has a purpose in this. So David, he's a little bit disillusioned. He's kind of overstating it, although his life is in danger. He says, God, if I ever needed you, I need you now. I'm in deep trouble. I need divine help. And I trust you. And I declare that you are my God. And in humility, as your servant, I cry out for deliverance. Let's read on. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed. Again, it's that confusion that comes with battle. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Confusion to the enemy, and God, eliminate them. Just eliminate them. That will make the battle, then I'll be victorious. Let the lion lips be put to silence. This is an imprecatory prayer, by the way, which is not unbiblical, but you got to be careful when you pray these kinds of things. Yeah. And David's saying, the enemy is overwhelming the people, overwhelming me, put them to silence. Let thy lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things profoundly and contemptuously against the righteous. They're doing a lot of damage. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. That is a wonderful passage of scripture. I'm almost out of time here this morning. God has laid up goodness in store. It's like it's in the warehouse. It's going to be given to us if we just trust him. It's terrible English. It was good the day I got saved, and it keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder every day of my life. God, and David recognizes this. He says, not only will you deliver me, and I'm trusting you, I'm trusting your will in that, whatever you will. Not only that, but I know that you've stored up goodness and righteousness for me. Take your Bibles, turn to Lamentations. Lamentations and chapter 3. Lamentations and chapter 3. Some summary thoughts. We all get into trouble. God is a rock. He's a rock. He's our fortress. He is the citadel that we can run into. He's that tower of strength. No matter what your valley, no matter how deep it is or how shallow it is, you might as well not compare yourself among the brethren because, that's not wise. Your valley is the big valley. But understand, the valley is where you're going to grow. It's where your faith is going to grow. It's where the harvest, it's where the crops are going to be harvested. It's where the crops are planted. There's a lot of good that comes with that negativity. So don't get caught up in and distort things that are going on in your life. Run to God. You're in deep trouble, you run to God, and he stores up that goodness. Lamentations 3, just some one-word summaries, and we'll get down to verse 22. Verse 1, I am the man that has seen affliction. Verse 2, in darkness. I'll just highlight some of them. Verse 4, I'm old, aged by grief. Verse 6, dark places. Verse 7, made my chain heavy. Verse 9, enclosed my ways, crooked. Verse 11, turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. Verse 15, filled me with bitterness. But look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God is good. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. God is good all the time, every morning. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. God is enough. And the Lord is good unto him, unto them that wait for him, even in the valley, to the soul that seeketh him. God is faithful. The God who numbers the stars and calls them by name is not likely to forget one of his children in the valley. He'll not forget you. He will not forsake you. Go back to Psalm 31. Let me wrap this up. Verse 20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Hebrews 4, I think of that verse, there remaineth a rest for the people of God that the world doesn't know anything about. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. He's talking about Jerusalem. For I said in my haste, here's where he's confessing, I guess I distorted it, Lord. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine enemies. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. He hears me. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. My cup runneth over. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. All things work together for them that are called of God. All things work together for them that love the Lord. Rejoice when you fall into diverse temptations. That was a great testimony. What was that preacher's name?
Dr. E.L. Sharp.
E.L. Sharp. That close, squeezing the trigger, that life could have ended. And he could have went to hell. But he reached out to God. And Christ is the lifeline. Psalm 31. That's meat. You can carry that with you the rest of your life. Psalm 31. God will never let you down. Joshua chapter 1. I am the Lord thy God. I fail not. I'm done. Next week, Captain Canada's with us. Last week, 11 people saved. I don't know what's going on this week, but I want to call you to prayer concerning our old school gathering, October the 3rd. Good things don't just happen. Number one, I'm told we need more people to cook turkeys. So ladies, cook those turkeys. Bake those pies. Don't cut that part short. Make sure you bathe the day in prayer. It can't just be a bunch of preachers getting together and a bunch of lay people getting together and having a reunion and a big meal. Man, it can't be that. Just listen to some good music. It's got to have the power of God upon it. I am praying that this year's old school will impact all of Michigan from up in the Keweenaw down to State Line, down there, State Line Christian School. Is that State Line Baptist Church? That's what it is. From one corner right down to the other, and every church in between. And those churches getting set on fire to light the darkness. Amen. We need God's people to come to the altar and pray about that. You need to ask God. You need to surrender to God so that you're able to be used of God this week. God will use you. God will hear those prayers. It might be that you're hurting. You're in that big valley. And you think you're all alone. You're not. That's the devil's lie. That's your flesh listening to the world. Jesus is there. He'll deliver you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.